Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
From Transport Topics in Washington, D.C., this is Road Signs. Here is your host, Seth Clevenger.
Thank you for listening to Road Signs, the podcast series from Transport Topics that explores the trends and technologies that are shaping the future of trucking. In this episode, we're going to examine the current state of development for self-driving trucks in part two of our Road Signs mini-series on autonomous trucking. Once again, we'll be delving into how and where autonomous commercial vehicles could fit into the freight transportation industry and what it will take to make that vision a reality. But before we dive into today's topic, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to Transport Topics to gain exclusive access to our top 100 lists, quarterly magazines, and other trucking industry news. To subscribe, visit ttn.ws/ttsubscribe. You can also text ttsubscribe to 571-622-0001. To learn more about autonomous truck development, we're going to hear from Peter Von Schmidt, CEO of self-driving truck developer Torque Robotics, in an interview I recorded for TT's Automate virtual event in December. Let's play that conversation now. I'm thrilled to welcome Peter Von Schmidt, CEO of Torque Robotics, a developer of autonomous driving technology and an independent subsidiary of Dynamo Truck. Thanks for joining us, Peter.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
So the majority of the autonomous driving technology development companies in the trucking space were founded between 4 and 7 years ago. I recently compiled a list for our iTech magazine, and there are more than a dozen companies in this space. And that's generally when most of these companies either were founded or really made a push into the trucking industry. But Torque Robotics stands out because it's been working on autonomous vehicle technology since 2005. So that's a really long timeline for, you know, compared to most of the other companies, you know, in AV technology. How does that experience and perspective inform Torque's approach to development?
It's super helpful to have this really long track record of experience. Torque is super proud that they came in number 3 back then, yeah. And there were these big famous teams of Stanford and Carnegie Mellon, were more or less the origin of the entire autonomous industry. Torque decided they were a little bit the underdogs of Virginia Tech and go this different path of the early adopters, mining, military, and things like that, and building out a profitable business year over year over year out of this technology. And, you know, there's one thing to build a great tech, but it's even more difficult to build a great business, yeah, based on a great product, based on a great tech. And Torque just has this experience of doing it, also with very large vehicles. You know, trucks are large, but mine trucks are large, military vehicles are large. There's also a lot of carryover from this expertise that helps a lot on the new mission. And then Torque was one of the first to really see the tectonic shift from robot taxi to robot trucking, which has recently taken place in the space. And they were right. Yeah. And Daimler saw it in parallel. And then they formed the first OEM AV partnership, which is out there. I think that experience really helps a lot. And from there, then Torque took off and has grown significantly.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point, it's amazing how much has come from those, you know, early, you know, DARPA challenges, you know, and a lot of cases, university students, you know, developing this technology for you know, the DARPA Urban Challenge, for example. And now we see that those ideas have blossomed and become a piece, an emerging piece of the transportation industry. Fast forward to where we are today, you know, Torque is working with an advisory board that includes a number of, some of the biggest players in the trucking industry. One of those companies, one of those advisors is Schneider, which just announced a pilot program with Torque just a few months ago. So could you give us an update on Torque's on-road testing and validation efforts, including that pilot with Schneider?
Oh, yeah, more than welcome. Before we hit roads, there's a lot of things until new software really hits the road, be it a lot of checks that are done, closed-course testing, simulation, very small setups, and then finally we are on public roads, and the latest status is really driving customer pilots. We're still doing the majority of public road testing, by the way, hauling concrete blocks. Yeah? Sounds weird, but for a development process, it's also not that bad that you don't have any disruptions. Yeah? If something goes wrong, you can immediately analyze what happened, and the load does not necessarily arrive on a fixed time at a fixed point. But as I said, it's important that we do not only develop a cool tech, but a great business. And that's why we learn so much doing customer pilots. Concrete blocks always behave the same. Yeah. If you haul customer freight, sometimes the trailer is empty, sometimes it's full, partially loaded, high, low, center of gravity, things like that. You need to arrive on time. You're driving much bigger stretches. So we're driving 1,000 miles. It was also pretty cool to see, is our technology scalable? Can we map 1,000 miles more or less like this and keep the maps updated? That was the first proof also for scalability. And then on the other hand side, of course, also it's super interesting to really make this a joint journey with customers so that they also learn what does that mean for us, for our operations, for our maintenance. Yeah, what are the capabilities of the technology? Where do I need to prepare myself for? Because, there's driver shortage, but there's also technician shortage. And there are a lot of things that are super important to really create a cool product that a customer really can use and really likes and improves their business, because that's the ultimate goal, make our customers better in their daily job.
I was fortunate enough earlier this year to see Torx technology in person. So I was able to visit your operations facility in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and did a ride along. And it was fascinating to see how you're working on this technology, not just, open stretches of highway, not another vehicle to be seen for miles upon miles. But this was rush hour in Albuquerque, and there were aggressive drivers, there were cut-ins, stuff that truck drivers deal with every day out on the road. But not easy driving conditions. But these are the types of situations as a developer you need to work on and plan for, including sharing the road with frankly bad drivers in passenger cars. And I will say that my experience in Albuquerque traffic, many of those drivers would fit right in the DC area where I live, sort of rankings of bad drivers. So maybe just talk to how speak to how you work on developing technology, a virtual driver that sometimes has to share the road with bad human drivers.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, for coming out back then and experienced the technology. And I was just in Albuquerque 2 weeks ago, and again, a ton of progress. We now have the next generation of trucks out there, which also improved hardware and sensors to perceive the environment. Yeah, the trucks drive great, and in the end, you need to train them in difficult terrain. Yeah, it's don't get me wrong, but it might be much easier to run in the desert, 2-lane stretch, almost no traffic, daylight. But especially in the end, a truck must be capable to do things that you just described, because they are reality on our streets. Yeah, and there are even more crazy things happening. So the more miles we accumulate, a lot of things happen out there, which we're accumulating, by the way, by driving it there to see how our truck behaves. But we also can use the entire level 2 fleet that we have, the video captures, to analyze all near misses, all even accidents. It sounds bad, but all of this we can use to feed our simulation and scenario databases. One of the biggest things to especially do the really rare things and see how our system is performing there, and then the real world driving, as you mentioned, But real world driving in challenging areas. And we just love Albuquerque because you have everything, things that you describe. But on top, it's on very short distance. You have this dense urban traffic of Albuquerque driving up north to Santa Fe, taking a new interstate, switching to I-40, climbing up the canyon, and then there's nothing. And this is so cool. Within an hour of driving, you have more or less all things that a developer could dream of, with some challenging driving behaviors and all seasons. I was there. I had snow, believe it or not. Yeah, desert, and I had snow. And a week before it was raining. You also have all seasons in there, strong winds. So it's a perfect proving ground. And we are so lucky that we get a lot of support from the region, from the mayor in Albuquerque. They are really welcoming, and they're also a little bit proud that technology is developed in their city.
Yeah, and it certainly did strike me as a really good proving ground for the technology as well. And I will say that I personally was surprised at how cold it was in Albuquerque in the morning. Growing up in the Midwest and also now living on the East Coast, desert in New Mexico, I expect it to be hot, but a lot of variation in temperatures, and yes, you do get all kinds of weather. But you talked about some of the unique challenges and rare situations that an autonomous vehicle could potentially encounter on the road. And I think that's one of the biggest, technical challenges for autonomous truck development is planning for all those edge cases, the very rare or unexpected scenarios that, might be one in a million or even, more rare than that. So maybe just speak to how Torc is tackling that challenge of preparing its self-driving system to respond appropriately when it encounters an unusual situation for the first time. That is very rare, but could happen.
And maybe I just pick three examples. It's a really good question, and I think I could talk way too long on this, and my CTO even longer. But there's one aspect. For example, if you want to test physically, that's closed course testing. Here in Blacksburg, I'm currently in Blacksburg. We have a test drive from a test track. 500 meter or half a mile from our office, and that's just perfect. It belongs to VTTI, and the teams were just experimenting. Hey, what about spontaneous changes in the construction site? You can set it up, stage it, change it. It's safe. It's closed course, and can play around and really provoke critical situations that you don't want to do on public roads, obviously. Yeah, so that. That's one thing. How and I think also really nice having this proving ground really right around the corner. A lot of things of this edge cases is then really done as a in simulation. That there's one aspect. So engineers think about what could happen, for example, during a lane change, cut-ins and things like that. People swerving into your lane and all kinds of things you could think of because you experience them in your daily life. And in simulation, you can then put them all to the extreme, because you could cut in with, I don't know, an inch distance in between, which hopefully you don't see in real life, but you can really stress out your system and see how long can it still handle it and when does it fail. And then you can also talk to lawyers, for example, and say, hey, is that good? And we are driving to our experienced safety drivers, that's how a truck should behave. That's really like the best drivers out there do it, handle it. That's another aspect. And then I was touching upon this a little bit, using our level 2 fleet, video captures and things like that, just because the testing fleet of level of autonomous trucks, autonomous ready trucks, it's tiny. But there are hundreds of thousand trucks out and of Freightliner trucks out and using the video capture and just capturing critical themes that really helps to fill, we call it a scenario database, that we fill up this edge cases. And there will be a point of time, and we are coming closer to this, where it plateaus. But even the things that what happens one time in a million miles, we have seen all of them. Yeah. And I think once over, let's say, a full year, we plateaued and don't see anything new with the 10,000, 100,000 of trucks out there. Then I think we have a good feeling that our scenario database is complete.
Are you using Apple Podcasts to listen to Road Signs? Here's how you can get the most out of your experience. First, subscribe to Road Signs podcast channel and make sure the Apple Podcast app is downloaded on your mobile device. Second, pick the episode you'd like to listen to. Third, to find more out about the episode, scroll down on the player page to see the guest details, the mission of the episode, and links to more audio offerings. You're sure to enjoy it. If you're still having difficulties tuning in, email us at share@ttnews.com for more help. Happy listening.
It's hard to plan for, an earthquake happening and shaking up the road in front of the truck or something, so unusual. But, it's amazing.
We had an absurd situation. One of our trucks got struck by lightning. How probable is that? No one planned for it. And things like that. And that's why you also just, on the one hand side, need to drive and then tap into the huge database. There's more crazy things that your engineers think of in the first minute.
Yeah, and I do want to go back to one of the points you raised earlier, and that's this integration work with autonomous truck developers, autonomous driving system developers with the vehicle platform. So in recent years, we have seen several autonomous driving development companies form partnerships with truck manufacturers. Case in point, of course, is Daimler Truck and Torc Robotics. The goal, of course, being to install the technology at the factory level rather than as an aftermarket system, and also design the vehicle to have the redundancy it needs to support level four, unmanned operation. If you take a driver out, you need to have extra components, extra fail safes, because you can no longer rely on a driver to back the system. So Torc is somewhat unique in that it's an independent subsidiary of Daimler Truck. Daimler acquired a controlling stake in the company in 2019. But there are other examples, as I mentioned, of these AV OEM alliances across the industry. And I think you have a great perspective on this, Peter. Of course, before you stepped in to lead Torc, you were the head of Daimler Truck's autonomy technology group. We've already seen in your case, the work of Torc and Daimler together on a level four ready Freightliner Cascadia, again, with redundant steering, braking, other critical systems that ensures safety, when there's not a driver behind the steering wheel. So just tell us more about that collaboration work, and why is it so important to have a truck platform that's truly designed for fully autonomous operation, rather than installing the sensors and software, on more of an aftermarket basis?
Oh, that's an excellent question. And I do also now a little bit marketing session for my old company, Freightliner, here. We call it Autonomous Ready Cascadia. That's really the foundation. And define it, let's say, as a little bit a stripped down chassis. No sensors, no computes yet, but just the redundancy that you need in braking, steering, and things like that. I think what Freightliner did is, I'm absolutely convinced that's the absolute benchmark in how such a system should be designed, because it was designed from ground up, not just, hey, what's there on the market, let's retrofit it in, it seems to be redundant. It was a lot of thought put in, 1,500 new requirements to make everything redundant by wire, so that you can send signals and receive signals and can actuate on them, but also cybersecurity, have enough electricity and cooling, and then really thinking through things. Yeah, as you said, a lot of things a driver does today, if something goes wrong, has muscles to turn the wheel or to pump the brake, but it also has ears or noses to smoke, is there fire, vibrations, and things. All of this, in the end, you need to address. But even more so importantly, and I think here went a lot of thinking in, some people think, just bring it to a safe stop. But what does that mean? I mean, there is not always a shoulder, or you are in a tunnel, you're in a bridge, you're on a railway crossing. It's not safe to bring the truck to a stop now. So it's designed in, the truck should at least drive 10 minutes to arrive a really safe harbor, more or less whatever happens to the truck. And then build in a factor of two so that it can survive 20 minutes of driving, even worst case, so that you also have the edge cases off, there is no safe harbor covered. And then for at least an hour or even more, still send signals to the outside world. I'm here. I have a problem. Please rescue me. I think that's important. That's important. And then all of this is paid in, developed into the base platform of the Autonomous Ready Cascadia. I think it really sets a super cool standard. Yeah, we had a discussion, is it over-engineered or not? But I don't think that you can over-engineer safety in such a critical application. I think that's the standard that you should meet. Proud of this, as you're still here, because I was part of this. But also proud now, because I want the Torc virtual driver on the safest platform you could dream of, which is the Autonomous Ready Cascadia. Safety is always, since day one, saving lives, safety, that's Torc's mission. But then the other thing, I'm really lengthy here, then now come the sensors and computes and things like that. I'm a strong believer that you could now take a chassis like this and have a bolt-on retrofit system that someone puts on. I think this is really unique, and it's not existing in the industry. And no Silicon Valley company has access to this. It's really this fully integrated approach, yeah, that you design everything, optimal integrated, optimal aerodynamics, reliability, built in the Freightliner plants down the road. This really, this develops, this assures that in the end, you have scalability, you have quality, you have good pricing, and it's just a superb product which is in the making. And that's really a unique thing that Torc has upon the access to this really great foundation.
Yeah, and I was also able to see, you know, kind of an early version of that, autonomous ready, Cascadia, in Albuquerque, and it's also been trade shows recently as well. So, this isn't just something we're talking about; it's also something that's been developed and is increasingly ready for that point when, the technology is ready for commercialization. I do want to bring up the topic of what this technology does and doesn't mean for professional truck drivers, in the years and decades ahead. I think whenever we talk about, autonomous trucking, that's an important part of the conversation. Peter, I'll turn it over to you. How do you envision autonomous trucks and human labor working together in the future? And do you see an opportunity for automation to, not just, address, the driver recruiting and high turnover rate problems that so many trucking companies see, but also, to improve the jobs of truck drivers in the future?
Definitely. And I think we also have now a little bit more realism of what the technology can do and can't do. And I think a lot of the fears, it's clear this technology won't come overnight and replace all driving that you could do in theory. It will gradually sneak in, heavily supported by humans. And I think Daimler put out a number, Daimler Trucks, that best case, you can assume something like 6% in the year 2030 could be done by this autonomous hub-to-hub, something like this. But from now until 2030, I think we have a 30% growth in freight protected. So the key message is, I think autonomy can augment the driver shortage topic, but it's only one, or help to ease it a little bit, but it's only one means. It's definitely not sufficient in itself. The second thing is, it could make, why is the driver shortage? I think the younger generation of drivers doesn't have so much dream anymore, whatever, three weeks through the country, I see it all. You can do it on Twitter and Google and you name it, YouTube. So they prefer to stay a little bit more local or to the home. There's still enough long haulage driving left, by the way. Yeah, as I said, 6%. But I think that could enable really to make some of the jobs more regional, attract more people. And I think also if you do first and last mile, usually you know the warehouse, you know the people at the dock, and usually you get a quicker handling, and they might even be a little bit more friendly. So I think there are a lot of things that could make the life the life better. And the emission control and in the hubs, so also a lot of new jobs are created, which are not only highly skilled, you have a PhD in computer science jobs to do the coding. There's a lot of, I think, super interesting new jobs created in mission control for technicians to handle super cool technology like radars, cameras, computes. I think it's creating also a lot of ton of new opportunities for all kinds of people and all kinds of educations behind.
Transport topics in one word, authoritative.
Knowledge. Outstanding.
Reliable. We ask Transport Topics readers to describe us in one word.
Informative.
Informative.
Integrity.
The Bible.
Authoritative. The authority.
Transportation information, that's two, but I've got to have it both.
Physically large. Oh, that's two words.
Visit influence.ttnews.com/sayhello to find out what they're talking about.
So I think that it's clear that, hopefully have reached an understanding as an industry that we're not automating jobs away. This is something that can complement the workforce, and jobs may change, evolve over time. But, automation will be well suited for certain routes and applications and not for others, I think is a helpful perspective to have as we think about the future, at least the foreseeable future. And to your point, at least initially, Torque is focusing its development efforts on automating, those hub-to-hub highway driving routes that you talked about earlier. Why do you see that as the best initial use case for autonomous trucking?
I think that the perfect blend out of what the technology can handle safe soon and where do we have a business? Because I think the graveyards out there are full of startups who develop the cool tech, but forget what you really need to develop is a cool product and a cool business that the customer really, really needs. And I think that's why we think that the hub-to-hub trucking could be a nice, really nice entry point where the first and last mile is done by humans. This hub sits super close to the interstates. So from there, it's just a half mile, super easy driving. And this might be super protected. Yeah, we only with traffic lights, maybe even a chase car. It doesn't really matter because it's just half a mile, and then you have the long distance autonomous driving behind. The next thing you could also think about first and last mile much bigger than today. I mean, it could be, by the way, electric, so that the overall run from A to B is has a better CO2 footprint. First and last mile, more or less minus 100%. The middle mile, an autonomous truck will roughly run 10% better like a human truck because you can speed down. You don't need to rest to eat or to sleep and things like that. All of this are small savings that help. But the last and first mile, it does not need to be a mile. It could be also 4 hours of driving or more. So and that, I think, gives you the opportunity that you're not only limited to this distribution center has 20 trucks per day leaving, but you can feed much more through this. And I think it's a nice entry point. And from there, technology will evolve gradually. It will be able to handle more weather conditions, more complicated hubs. The hubs could be smaller and things like that. But it's important just to have a starting point, which is meaningful.
No, that's helpful. And, I don't want to ask you to provide, a hard date because I know that that's very difficult. And it's probably an impossibility. It's more of a guess or a projection. But instead of asking you, exactly when this technology will be market ready, could you just describe the pathway to commercialization and when will you know it's ready? What will it take to get there? And when will you see that and know that it's time to, it's market ready?
I mean, just to give some indications and on the one hand side, there was this number put out in the year 2030, it could be 6%. So it needs to start earlier. The second thing is you saw the chassis or the autonomous ready Cascadia. This is not super prototype-ish anymore, though this looks like real product development. So I think we are in this phase where we left the research advanced engineering phase and are really preparing to truly develop a product and launch it. Yeah. And then launch it in super small scale, super small, confined, really protected, whatever, and then grow it from there to hopefully 6% in 2030 or something like this as an industry. Yeah, to get there, there's a ton of homework to be done. The bar, more or less, and that's where we measure on the one side. I was talking about this scenario databases. So can we in the virtual world 100% represent what's happening out there and prove in the virtual world that our software is safe? Safe, what does it mean? In the end, we want to orient ourselves on a so-called exemplary driver. It's super hard to say a system is as good as a human 5 times or 10 times better or worse. And I think all those numbers are meaningless. What do we mean with an exemplary driver? That's like the best truck driver on its best day. So never distracted, never texting, never never tired. Never are close to the hours of service and needs to drive a little bit faster and things like that. Just things that happen and I admit they happen to me. Yep. I have a CDL. It's just natural over 11 hours. You do not have always your best hour. Yeah, they're also and that's I think defining this is more or less the bar where the autonomy needs to be at par. And then I think there are a lot of indirect benefits, yeah, because it's not texting, not overspeeding. In the end, it will be even safer, but it's hard to quantify how is 2 times better, 10 times better. And we say, this is a meaningless discussion. It's just this bar we need to meet. When we meet it, it's safe to launch.
Very good. And then before I let you go, Peter, I think it would be good to end on maybe a big picture question. Because I think back to, you know, when the industry really started this conversation about, the potential for self-driving trucks, that really gained a lot of momentum in the middle of the past decade. Of course, Daimler Truck played a very big role in sparking that conversation with the Freightliner Inspiration Truck in 2015. So I think it's interesting to think about that time, now about 7 years ago. From your perspective, how has the technology evolved and how has the conversation evolved, in the industry over the past 7 years ago about autonomous trucking?
That's an interesting one. I still remember when Daimler Truck put out autonomous trucks will be a reality by end of the decade. 3-4 years ago, people were making fun on them. Back then on me, how dinosaurs they did. To be honest, I think it was a pretty realistic assessment when technology could be ready. And it's not only the software, it's also sensors that see far enough. Yeah, because driving a truck on an interstate, you need to see a lot to the front and even more to the back to do safe lane changes and mergers. So I think there were some too optimistic scenarios out there, but big picture, I think, this time frame that was put out is realistic. And what still holds true is really the excitement about opportunity. I mean, to just think about autonomy as a reality. Goods will arrive safer, faster, at lower cost. It's just good for everyone out there. Yeah, it's good for fleets because they can make their business better, but it's also good for the end customers because in the end, whatever the milk in your grocery store gets cheaper and things like that, or the food is fresher. Even think about how you could reshape anti-logistics networks with trucks that do not have hours of service limitations. Goods could arrive faster. Some traffic is at night, not during day, because drivers want to sleep and an autonomous driver doesn't care about. I mean, there's so many things. And I think all of this still holds true because there is a business need. And in the end, like I said in the beginning, great technology is one thing. But what you really would like to see is also a great business opportunity. It was there from day one. That's why Daimler Trucks bought in, why Torc bought in, many others, and it's still true. Yeah, some challenges on the technology side, and especially also on the robotaxi side. But the key drivers why autonomous trucking makes sense and is attractive, it's still there. Nothing changed.
Well, I think we have some very fascinating years ahead of us for technology in the trucking industry. We're just at the cusp of this, and it'll be very fun to watch. It was great to get a little bit of a preview in Albuquerque earlier this year. Thanks for hosting me, and really appreciate you joining this conversation and sharing your insights with us. Thanks again for joining us, Peter.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you and your audience. It was really fun, and I would love to welcome you in Albuquerque again next year.
All right, great. I'll take you up on that. Thanks again, Peter.
Thank you.
Did you know you can ask Alexa to open Transport Topics? In just 1 minute, you will hear the biggest trucking headlines of that day. Be prepared and start your morning off right with Transport Topics.
Before we close, let's take a moment to revisit our original questions. How and where could autonomous trucks fit into the freight transportation industry? And what will it take to make that vision a reality? As we've heard during this episode, autonomous truck developers continue to make progress toward commercialization by partnering with truck makers, fleet operators, and other industry stakeholders. That work is laying the foundation for commercial deployment at scale in the years ahead, particularly in applications such as hub-to-hub routes that are well-suited to automation. And looking ahead to trucking's future, it's becoming easier to see how those types of deployments could potentially support the trucking industry's workforce by gradually shifting some driver jobs toward regional and local routes that provide more home time than long-haul jobs. If you've enjoyed this episode of Road Signs, please let others know. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If my questions have sparked questions of your own, share them with me and the Road Signs team at share@ttnews.com. Also, let us know how we did by texting TTSurvey to 571-622-0001. And of course, Road Signs will be back soon with part 3 of our mini-series on autonomous trucking. Until then, I'm Seth Clevenger. Thank you for listening.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.